I do want to start by saying I hope you're all at home, stay home, that you're staying healthy, and that you're taking care of each other. Couldn't be more important during these times that we spend a little extra time considering how we might be able to reach out to others, to connect with folks, even as we don't do so physically. It's important that we take care of each other and let each other know that we love one another. It's essential. So today I want to talk a little bit about a rational faith, and there's a reason for my need to talk about that. Last week in our Easter service, I mentioned maybe thinking of the Easter story as a parable and what that might bring to us. And it caused several of you to ask me for my particular take on, well, the resurrection. I'll catch slack for this from some folks, I know, but I don't believe in a bodily, physical resurrection. And to get at what I do believe about the resurrection, I hinted at that some in my Easter message. I felt like before we talk about that it would serve us well to talk about what a rational faith is, or what that looks like, or how it's not an oxymoron, which some folks would probably say it is. So with that said, today's message is a little bit more, it gets in places a little more philosophical. It can almost feel like a lecture in a class at moments. I will try to keep that limited. Hopefully it will connect with you, and if you have questions about it or responses, use the comment section below. Church members, quick reminder, we do need your continued gifts and donations. Our bills don't stop. The people that need help are still out there, so if you're able to contribute, please remember to send that into the church. And hopefully, I think that we have a glitch in our donate button on our webpage, athinkingchurch.org. I think we probably have that fixed now, so anyone who would like to contribute, you can do so that way. My message today is entitled A Rational Faith. Now, so I'd like to start by sharing several quotes with you. Two are from folks who are believers, and two are from folks who aren't. And each of them, though, are people that I respect. Now, I'm sharing them with you because I believe they each point to the same core belief. The first is from Blaise Pascal, who once said, "Men never do evil so completely and cheerfully as when they do it from a religious conviction." The next is from the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, who said, "Faith is taking the first step, even when you don't see the whole staircase." Now, from Ernest Hemingway, who said, "All thinking men are atheists." And finally, from Mark Twain, who said, "Faith is believing in that which I know ain't so." The core belief these quotes contain, at least for me, I believe that the core belief they contain is that faith faith is a mostly mindless pursuit. It requires some degree of checking your brain at the door. In other words, it's mostly not rational. But you know, rational may not mean what we kind of colloquially come to think of it as meaning. I'd say that we've been selling rationality, well, we've been selling it short. If we think of it as just being a system of inductive proof, for example, mathematics. We're selling rationality short if we think of it as a behavior where when you start with certain core concepts and only build on it very cautiously, and only accepting theorems that have been rigorously proven, leaving everything else as sort of just as conjecture. If you're requiring people who adhere to various faiths to meet that level of rigor, don't be surprised if you preset them up to fail the test. But the reality is that bar is too high for belief in pretty much any belief system, spiritual or not. I was part of a forum called Common Ground Conversations. Now, it involved an evangelical minister turned atheist and myself, and we would have a conversation about how humanists and progressive Christians actually have more in common than we have in difference. And the conversation was about how we could become a substantial and influencing voting bloc if we could just manage to set this question of deity aside in favor of advancing policies that would make the world a better place. Inevitably, despite our best efforts, during the question and answer portion at the end of our gathering, someone would bring up the question of deity. One such question went something like this: how can an atheist say that they know for sure that God doesn't exist? Yet, the fact of the matter is, most atheists would concede that it's true that they don't claim to know for a fact that God doesn't exist, in the same way that they wouldn't claim it in the same way that they would claim that Newton's third law of motion is a fact, is true. But I believe they are still perfectly justified in claiming that moniker of atheist. After all, most of us don't believe that there's life on the planet Saturn, other than maybe microbial life or something, I don't know. But the reality is that we don't have any hands-on proof. Now still, I would venture to guess that not one of us would try to claim that we are agnostic about the concept of life on Saturn. We most likely all come down on the side of there's no life on Saturn. Now, I'd also venture to guess that most of us would consider that very rational behavior. You see, rational belief is not just a system of inductive proof. Rational belief is also theories that you favor based on the evidence that you have. It's the reality that you would bet on if you found yourself in a position where you needed to. And it includes lots of beliefs that are more working hypotheses, like our Saturn example, than they are proofs. Healthy faith can be understood in the same way. For some people, their belief system can actually be their best working hypothesis as they delve into the questions of morality, creation, humanity, and any other number of considerations. It's not that they've arrived at a decision about faith that they feel 100% confident about, as much as it is that their decision is their best hypothesis. And again, in our example of Saturn, it would be a misnomer to claim to be agnostic about it. Berkeley professor Laura Buckhuck is an expert in decision theory and philosophy of religion. Now, as an expert in decision theory and a philosopher of religion, she is, somewhat uniquely qualified and in a unique position to look at the question of faith and rationality. She points out that people commonly treat faith as something stronger than belief. as something one maintains despite evidence to the contrary. But Bukhak argues that there's a sense in which faith actually goes beyond the evidence, but that it doesn't require believing something more strongly than the evidence suggests. Instead, she describes faith as a commitment to acting as if some claim is true without first needing to examine additional evidence that could potentially impact the claim, like in our example of the life on Saturn. Now, to help kind of understand this perspective, Bukhak gives this scenario. If a man has faith that his spouse isn't cheating, this seems to rule out his hiring a private investigator, opening her mail, or even striking up a conversation with her boss to check that she's really working late at night. That is, it rules out conducting an inquiry to verify that his spouse isn't cheating. If he does any of these things, then she can rightfully complain that he doesn't have faith in her. Now, the reality is that even if he couldn't be 100% sure that she'd been faithful, he still should have enough evidence to rationally have faith in her. Now, to further confront the fable of faith being completely irrational, she brings up the so-called Doubting Thomas story. Many of you know that I call him the Inquiring Thomas or Inquisitive Thomas. Thomas asks to put his hand in Jesus' side to verify that he's been resurrected in the flesh. You know, traditionally, this story is supposed to indicate that Thomas lacks faith. In that way of understanding this story, it's basically trying to teach us that faith requires a willingness to act as if something is true, while also refraining from gathering evidence for the purpose of checking whether it's true, even if you're no longer certain that it is true. But honestly, who in their right mind would agree to living life that way? I mean, when you're uncertain of something, isn't it always better not to mention more interesting? Isn't it always better, as well as more interesting, to have more evidence rather than less evidence? Yeah, pulling from her work in decision theory, rational choice theory, and even mathematical determinations, Bukhak comes to the conclusion that, yes, indeed, faith can be rational. She says that for faith to be rational, a basic precondition first needs to be met. It must be the case that you think a claim is sufficiently likely and the actions it supports sufficiently beneficial that the what they call expected utility of the act on the claim outweighs the expected utility of not doing so. I'd like to say that one more time and a little more slowly. It must be the case that you think a claim is sufficiently likely and the actions it supports sufficiently beneficial that the expected utility of acting on the claim outweighs the expected utility of not acting on the claim. So, for example, you assign higher utility to a marriage in which both partners are faithful than to one in which either partner cheats. And you have good reason to believe that your partner is in fact faithful. Then, if that's the case, then the expected utility of being faithful yourself can outweigh that of not being faithful. Her precondition ultimately supports the rationality of acting in a way that is consistent with your faith, like in choosing not to cheat. But she continues saying that it is not necessarily committing to no longer gathering evidence. Believe it or not, Bukak's arguments for how faith can be rational, they actually get even more difficult to follow from that point. But the conclusions aren't difficult to summarize. Let me make an attempt at that for you. Basically, her conclusions are, faith will be more likely to be rational when you begin with data for the claim in question, in contrast to believing just for the sake of believing. And almost counterintuitively, if you begin from an informed position, making decisions that are based on faith is more rational when the cost of examining further evidence is high. And finally, and also seemingly counterintuitive, if you begin from an informed position, making decisions based on faith is more rational when the evidence is likely to be inconclusive or misleading, because ultimately you miss out on what was in fact a great opportunity while waiting to gather more data. Now, since you've managed to stick with me as we've sorted out our way through these somewhat involved philosophical perspectives, let me now just give you Bukak's two-sentence summary about rational faith. One, get evidence first. Two, but don't postpone acting forever. As the quotes that I began with seem to indicate, the way that religious faith is sometimes talked about in the larger cultural conversation, well, it can be harmful to everyone who's trying to find out the truth in religious matters and how they should live their lives. There's a naive idea that faith requires believing against the evidence or in absence of evidence. When that idea is adopted by more extreme atheists, it can allow them to dismiss all religious faith as irrational just by definition, without considering the evidence that is there for particular religious claims. And when this idea gets adopted by religious people, it can allow them to think that believing against the evidence is a virtue, which is harmful to the pursuit of truth. And it also can be actually psychologically harmful to you to believe something you think you don't have evidence for. Yeah. In the end, none of us have the proof one way or the other. But we do have our ability to think and react rationally. And part of that is being willing to react in one direction or another, even when we may not have all the evidence that might be out there. And in its own way, the choice of doing so, much like believing that there is not life on Saturn, well, it's very rational. In the end, we all just need a little more compassion and humility. Whether it comes from a place of humanism or faith or both, well, it's much less important than the actual act of extending them to one another. And in my book, it also happens to be one of the more rational things that we can all do. Thank you for joining us today. I hope you'll join us again next week as we discuss the resurrection. And until then, stay home, wash your hands, and love one another.